I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, hi, Mr. Leguizamo.
Hey, Elmo, what's up? How you doing, player?
Hi.
Hey, what are you eating?
Oh, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Just the peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Yeah.
No green things or crunchy, nutritious kind of, wait a minute. This is a job for Captain Vegetable.
Wow, Captain Vegetable?
Yes, I am a cornucopia of carrots, a proponent of peas, an advocate of asparagus. Sorry, a backer of broccoli and a supporter of squash. Because I simply...
Oh, can you say that three times?
Sure. It's a cornucopia of... Oh, you...
It is I, Captain Vegetable, with my carrot and my celery. Eating crunchy vegetables is good for me, and they're good for you, so eat them too. But keep so strong your whole life long. Eat celery and carrots by the bunch. Three cheers for the mighty vegetable! Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg,
you're gonna
fuck
your
chicken.
You're gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario!
Hello, and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamo-rama. It is a podcast where each week me and my friend talk about John Leguizamo after watching something he's been in, whether it be a movie, TV show, whatever. My name is Mish Wittrup, and you might know me from always eating my vegetables and being a fucking skinny queen. And I'm joined, as always, by my very hairy friend, Zachary Wayne, who you might know from...
You might know from sometimes being a little cheeky and having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without a crunchy side. It's caught up with me in my 30s.
Yeah, I can't relate. And today we're really, really excited because we're joined by very, 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 very funny actor, writer, comedian and Twitcher.
But you've already introduced me.
Oh, God. Anyway, it's our mate, Naomi Higgins. Hi, Noms.
Hello. I'll clap as well. Yeah. Hi, it's me. And you may know me from, I can be a bit shy, but if you get to know me, I'm actually kind of outgoing.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Naomi, did you know about John Leguizamo before this podcast? And please be honest, just because he might be listening, don't be like, yes, I knew him. Yeah. Did you know about him?
Why would it be like...
I just need to say I've had personal conversations with people where I've said I'm doing a podcast called Leguizamo-rama and they've gone, who's John Leguizamo? I don't know him. They've Googled him and they've gone, oh, yeah, him. And then at the top of the podcast I've said, do you know who John Leguizamo is? And they've gone, yes, I love him. He's such a wonderful character actor.
Oh, so you think people do that because they think he's listening?
Or maybe just like because they think the people listening are will be mad at them.
They'll be like, how dare you?
My favourite thing in the world is the concept that John Leguizamo is listening to this podcast at home. He hears Naomi Higgins being like, hi, I'm a bit shy. And he goes, I'm going to make her fucking famous.
She's a star. That's star quality. That's, and you know what?
She's the one.
That's not the first time that's happened to me, so I get it.
I'm going to make you a star, Naomi.
That's a perfect John Leguizamo. I know that because I know him so well.
I would be so cut, though, if he was at home listening and decided to make you a star because, bitch, we're like 13 episodes deep and if he hears you and goes, yeah, her, I'm like, I've committed so much of my life to this fucking man. Anyway.
I'm sorry, Mish. It's called the it factor, you know? No amount of work is going to get you to that. Just kidding. You're both very charming. Anyway, the point is I didn't know John Leguizamo by name, but when Mish mentioned the idea of the podcast to me, I was watching Moulin Rouge and I was like, that's that guy. He's on the screen right now.
So, I think of this podcast as two things, three things. One is as a celebration of that guy, all the that guys and that ladies in Hollywood. Mm. It's a celebration of all of them. Two, I think of it as an excuse to what I've realized is it's an excuse to basically recreate the feeling of going into a video shop, picking a weekly because it has a good cover with knowing nothing about it, and then watching it and being like, that was all right. which is something I haven't done in a very long time. I only watch things now that have a good tomato rata rating on the tomato rating on the tomato website.
Tomato rata.
Tomato.com. And thirdly, it's a celebration of John Leguizamo, who we think is a really good actor.
Yeah. Well, he is. I think that too.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I would like to say before we read the blurb, which we're going to get to, I've made the decision independently. I haven't run this past my comrades to share something with our listeners because they're kind of like friends.
Oh, wow.
So basically when it comes to how we decide to order what we're going to do, I watch a bunch of trailers and I'm like, okay, I think that this would be good because this is a bit different from the thing we did last week and, oh, we haven't done anything from him in the 80s for a while. We'll jump into something like that. And I watched a trailer for something. I'm not going to say what it was, but I watched a trailer for one of his films and I was like, this looks like the funniest, cheesiest high school thriller ever. 100%. We've got to get Noms on board for it. And then Zach and I watched it and decided unequivocally that we can't talk about that film yet. So instead of doing a fairly disturbing thriller, we've decided to do Sesame Street.
Woo! That's more in my kind of capacity, you know. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that I can handle.
We are running. We continue to dodge anything, problematic because it was made before 2017. We're also dodging anything like difficult and tough. You know, there's like films, TV series that we're just not equipped to talk about, and we've been putting it off for a long time because this is a comedy podcast. And like, how the fuck do you tackle when they see us as a comedy podcast?
When they see us.
Which is a very good miniseries. Very, very good.
I've miniseries. Seen that. Was John Leguizamo in that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was,
he's the dad.
He's the dad. He's incredible in it. Probably my favourite miniseries, but how the fuck are we going to tackle that? One pot pasta and then the worst of humanity.
Two white comedians.
it's
us. It's time. It's time. Oh, my God, he wasn't it. Yeah, he's in fucking everything.
He is in absolutely everything.
When they see us and we're just like, I haven't been to New York in years.
Wait, did you actually do it on the pod?
No, we're not.
But
ready yet.
The problem is, Naomi. Oh, sorry, go, Michelle.
No, I'm sorry. We touched on a little bit with Waco is that there are themes in a lot of films that neither Zach or I feel like we can talk about. We're just not smart enough on those topics to
I'm a big believer in if you have neither life experience nor expertise, avoid adding to the white noise.
Wow. Zach, you'd be amazed how alone you are in that. It's crazy that more people haven't been like, I have nothing of value to say here. Maybe I won't start talking right now.
Well, now we're in a culture of why aren't you adding to the white noise, inexperienced person? You need to add to the white noise. But the problem is we committed to the concept of watching every one of his films. And then now we've been putting it off. But the issue we realised when we watched this film was if we keep putting it off, this is going to be a very dark, depressing year three of this project.
It's going to dip.
Because we're going to be fun, and then, all right, here we go. So we need to start, like, finding ways
to tackle it. It just gets really fucking grim. And by the end of year three, we're just, like, skeletal and sad.
But still trying to, like, keep it up, you know? Yeah. So we will find a way to tackle those things. We're excited to find a way to tackle those things. Like, we wanted, like, this is a funny podcast. It's largely about one pot pasta, but it's also about watching great films and talking about them. But, you know, we'll work it out. But right before now, that,
Dad, good luck to you. I don't envy you on that one.
Thanks so much. The way we've decided to tackle it now is by not doing it and just watching Sesame Street, which I think for now is a really, really great,
especially the headspace that we're all in. in the circumstances, you know, do we need to make ourselves feel worse right now?
The answer, Naomi, is no.
Do you know what? Can I say, you were talking about actors who are in everything but no one knows who they are, and I saw someone tweet about this person the other day. Do you know Patrick Wilson?
Yeah, I love Patrick Wilson.
He's
yeah.
from Hard Candy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in so much stuff. And
he's
no
in
one.
He's in
so
Girls. He was in Hard Candy.
Yes.
He's almost got, he's got a bit of the Sam Coughlin kind of, I think that's his name, kind of energy of almost too attractive. Yeah. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like the, like looks, he's so symmetrical, is so nice to look at that like the serious directors are like, oh, I don't know, I think I want someone a little more interesting looking for my lead. Still sexy.
Go with Owen Wilson.
Yeah, or Eddie Redmayne. We want Patrick Wilson, but he's too pretty. Let's get Eddie Redmayne. He's so interesting. No, Patrick Wilson did a really, really great ad for The Gap. The Gap being the, like the store. Not like, right. not like my badge. He did a really great ad for The Gap.
That was, who was in the ad for your badge? I thought it was Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson
he
and Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, yeah. Tag team it.
If I had to get someone to do an ad for my badge, it probably would be Eddie Redmayne.
Really?
He'd do it really well.
What would he do? Was he playing your vagina?
I don't know, talking about it.
He'd do it really well.
Just having a chat.
Hi,
just having
I'm
a chat.
Patrick Wilson. And I'm here to talk about The Gap, which is my nickname from Michelle Wittrop's vagina. It's like one of those black and white PSAs where there's lots of celebrities.
You may be thinking, what does this have to do with me? The answer is a lot. A lot.
Oh, my God. I'm involved in this topic in every way but the ones you're thinking right now. That's great. I'm so excited. I would love that. I reckon Don Cheadle would be involved in that PSA.
Oh,
as well.
I just like the idea that it's kind of like a series of educational videos. And there's like one that's on like my FUPA.
Am I going to be, is this going to be one of those like really dorky moments? Because
you don't know what a FUPA is.
I don't know what a FUPA
is. My partner didn't know what a FUPA was either.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Yeah,
a FUPA. Is a fat upper pussy area.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
just
cheaper.
When
mine's
like,
really so, mine's like a it's like a pillow. It's really cute.
Can I say that so the other day I was on Facebook and an ad came up for there's a small silicone thing that you can chew on in order to grow your jaw muscles.
You sent me that.
It's a thing for boys that boys can chew on so their muscles get strong because apparently their jaw muscles, because apparently a sharp defined jawbone is a muscular thing. Mm. We have beards. B, there is such a thing as contouring, so consider that. And C, it's amazing because whenever I think, like, industry is catching up on how to make men feel bad about themselves, it's like, oh, well, maybe men within the next 50 years will feel as terrible about their bodies as women. I find out where the women are at with things.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're telling men they can get more muscular jaws, and then you tell me about FUPA. I'm like, well, good for you.
I think FUPA's not new.
Yeah, it's not a new thing. And I think that we've taken back FUPA. And like,
absolutely.
It's not, no
really
one's like, ew, look at your FUPA. It's more like, can I look at your FUPA?
So is it the mound? Are we talking about the mound?
Yeah. No, no, no.
It's well, above the mound,
it's
right?
above the mound. So it's often on women who carry a bit of extra weight.
Okay.
And they've got like a tummy that kind of hangs over a bit. And that's called your FUPA. So it's just like, it's basically like a little tummy pouch. Right?
I've only ever heard like teenage boys say FUPA.
Yeah.
Right. I've never heard the term FUPA.
I'm just waiting for a Nicki Minaj song about it or something though. Like,
oh yeah. Oh, it's coming. I'm a bit annoyed about this silicone thing because there's just no way it works because with the amount of anxiety I have and the amount of I just grit my teeth for my entire life. I should have a better jaw.
I have everything that leads to that. And
brag.
All I've got to say is, you know, same. I should have quite the jaw, and I do not, because maybe it's a skeletal thing.
Well, yeah, because I'm touching my jaw now, and it's bone.
Yeah.
It's
not a muscle. It's not a. You can't flex your jaw.
The jaw muscle is like it's kind of behind the cheek. It's not where you're looking to expand the space.
Yeah, I know where it is because it gets really sore because again of the clenching.
Again with the clenching, I'm also a clencher. I know what you're talking about.
Or a couple of clenches.
A couple of clenches.
I'm too lazy to clench. I don't clench.
I'm too lazy
for mental illness. My name's Mish. I guess I'm just flawed, but in an acute way. I'm like Jessica Alba in Good Luck Chuck.
I carry my anxiety in my fupa.
We put it out to the audience maybe a few weeks ago. I don't know when we're releasing what. I don't know. But we put it out to the audience a little while ago. We realized that we often go on segues, as evidenced by the fact that we're 14 minutes in and this was meant to be the top of the podcast. But we often go on segues, and we asked the audience, we said, would you like us? I threw out the idea of, instead of us trying to structure this podcast, something we've been desperately trying to do the last few weeks, would you like us to just open with the paragraph and then like August Strindberg's A Dream play, see where the leaps of logic take us. We've had a few votes to try that out. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to launch in. I'm going to do my paragraph describing Mr. Vegetable, Captain Vegetable. I keep calling him Mr. Vegetable.
He's not just a mister, he's a captain.
I'm really worried. This is off topic, but there's two things that make you know you're getting old. One is you start saying character names wrong. You say Mr. Vegetable instead of Captain Vegetable. Yeah. The other thing is taking brand names and turning them into plurals. So Myers, have you ever noticed this? Safeways. Boomers love it. They're like, we're going now to Safeways.
So, speaking about boomers and pronouncing shit wrong, my mum, my entire life, so she wasn't even, like, she was 30 when I was born, so when she was young even, she calls asparagus.
No,
she does, and I'm fucking raged, man. And she eats it a lot. She eats it so much. Like, the fact that she talks about asparagus so much.
My mum calls really upset. Sri Lanka.
That's crazy.
It's so long.
So many people say capsicum.
Yeah,
it's capsicum and ends with an M.
Look at all this wonderful veggie chat we're doing.
Hey, this is on topic.
Yeah.
That's it. This is the most on topic we've ever been. So here we go. Toulouse-Lautrec in Moulin Rouge, Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet, and Captain Vegetable in episode 4013 of Sesame Street. These are some of the great roles played by John Leguizamo. Today we're discussing this segment. Fade from black. We see famed character actor John Leguizamo walking down Sesame Street, humming a song to himself. He bumps into Elmo, a small red creature who lives in the eponymous street. John Leguizamo is shocked to discover that Elmo is eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no form of raw vegetables as a side. Lost for words, John soon realizes that he is ill-equipped to convince the small creature on the importance of a balanced diet. So he calls on the expertise of one Captain Vegetable. John leaves and is immediately replaced by Captain Vegetable, played by John Leguizamo. Captain Vegetable tries to convince Elmo to eat his greens through alliteration and plosive consonants before launching into a song. He and Elmo then stage an intervention for Sandy, a young puppet who is addicted to candy. This is the second iteration of Captain Vegetable. In the 1980s, Captain Vegetable was a rabbit with a cape who always carried a carrot and a stalk of celery. His home base is a secret garden somewhere in New Jersey.
Thank you.
That was very, very well done.
That was not really well.
It's probably worth noting to our listener that this is available on YouTube.
Well, she's on the podcast, so.
Oh, yeah. Noms, just so you're aware. This is on YouTube. Yeah, so you can just jump onto YouTube and search John Leguizamo's Sesame Street and you can watch the entire thing.
You can just watch the whole thing.
It's all up there.
It's all there.
In 5 minutes.
This isn't like Waco. You don't have to pay $6.99.
Yeah, you can just watch this.
But wow.
I was so excited to do Sesame Street. When Zach and I first decided to do this podcast and we were going through John's filmography, and it came up that in 2002, directly after Ice Age, he did this 5-minute bit on Sesame Street. I was so excited because I was a big Sesame Street fan as a kid. Mm. Like big, big. My dad was an American and I lived in America when I was 4. And during that time when a lot of people, I believe in Australia, were watching like Play School and stuff like that, mine was Sesame Street. That was my viewing of choice from the ages of like 3 to 5. Mm. I was obsessed. So I'm really, really happy he did this. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
It's really a rite of passage of celebrities to do Sesame Street.
There are some really good ones. Like really entertaining ones.
Lil Nas X. Have you seen him and Elmo sing their little song?
Oh, no, that would be amazing. I'm sure that's
fantastic. It is really good.
He's great. I love Lil Nas X.
Do you, Dad?
Yeah. He's got such a funny Twitter presence.
There's also been like Ray Charles has done it, Robin Williams has done it, Whoopi Goldberg has done it, all of them, all the big ones.
I say Lil Nas X and you say Robbie Williams and Whoopi Goldberg.
I think there's about 2 years difference in age between us and you, Naomi, but that 2 years is like a cavern when it comes to cultural references.
Yeah, it feels big. It feels very big. I skew younger than I actually am.
And we skew older.
And you skew Whoopi Goldberg is what you skew.
I can't tell you how much I love Whoopi Goldberg. And I really want to make it a bit of a project on this podcast to start building the ideal cast. And I've got to say, obviously John's in it, but Whoopi Goldberg is there as well.
Oh, 100% Whoopi's in it.
We'll give like one hot... For me, the perfect cast is one hot boy, one hot girl, and then Whoopi Goldberg, John Leguizamo, Miriam Margolyes, John Rhys-Davies. Yeah. You don't need more than one hottie from each gender. Like, that's enough.
Mm. Yeah. From how many genders, sorry?
So that's why I believe you should have 6 billion hot people, eight billion hot people.
You just got Naomi. Sorry, did I say Higgins,
two?
Bitch.
Did I say two? I meant 8 billion. For there are as many genders as there are people on this earth.
Well, that's not true.
Well, I believe.
I'm so sorry.
That gender is a complex spectrum, and to label and categorize beyond 8 billion is anyway, that is actually my belief, but let's move on.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm not cutting it.
Invite me on this podcast. I come in here. I just stir shit up.
This is why we wanted you here, Naomi. I tell you a little story. Here comes a little Mish story for you. I reckon that my first proper introduction to comedy was The Muppets.
That's great. That's
yeah, wow. Great, I was really into them as a kid. Like, I loved all the movies, and I'm talking the ones from back in the 80s with the dad from Beethoven, whose name I don't remember. I don't know. I loved...
Patrick Wilson.
Huh?
Patrick Wilson.
No, it wasn't Patrick Wilson. The dad from Beethoven. Patrick Wilson wasn't the dad in Beethoven?
Yeah, it was more of a joke. Because I said he's in a lot of stuff earlier.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to step back.
Naomi, shut up. Let me tell my beautiful
story. Stop calling us out. You've thrown it.
Yeah, Jesus. Bonnie Hunt was also in Beethoven.
Mm.
And also Maggie from The Nanny was in Beethoven. Anyway, I loved The Muppets. And it was what, like, was often, like, on television, I believe, in the States or something. But my mum really liked The Muppets and so did my sister. And that was my first introduction to comedy. Because even as a little kid, Muppets dancing is like the funniest visual. Yeah. Like, it's so funny.
They flop around.
Yeah, they flop around. Very
flail and it's just...
My introduction to comedy was Pickle Rick.
What's Pickle Rick?
Oh, Rick and Morty, it's so smart. You wouldn't get it.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah, no, I've never seen it. I've never seen an episode of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it. Yeah, it's really too smart.
Yeah, it's smart, like, really, people. Like, sometimes I have to watch it, like, several times before I, like, even catch everything that's going on because it's so smart.
It's really smart. It's
sometimes
really hard to follow.
Sometimes it's so smart that, yeah, you can't even understand why they're doing what they're doing, and that's how you know it's good. When that's you don't great. Understand it yourself, that's when you know, wow, this must be perfect.
Well, I actually understand it all except for one episode. This is how smart it is, Mish. I was at a party and I had to get up to get a drink and they didn't pause it. And I came back and I was like, I have no idea what's going on because I've missed like 3 minutes. Like, that's how smart it is.
Yeah.
It's really smart.
Having also not
the,
seen...
The old man burps.
Yeah, but he's really smart like me, so he's my favourite.
Yeah, he's like me because he has depression and he's mean to everyone and now that's me.
Mish, we're just doing a bit of a joke. Rick and Morty is, of course, a very, very funny comedy cartoon from America. But there's a lot of, they have a lot of douchebag fans. A lot of, and so I'm just we're just pretending to be some of the douchebag fans of Rick and Morty.
I didn't understand because I've never seen it, but I just
Zach's
kind
just
of...
saving his ass in case he runs into Dan Harmon.
No, I also really like it.
I like it too. It's
one of those shows where it's like you can't mock the fans. You can't mock the fans without people thinking you hate the show. It's like, no, the show's great. Anyway, yes, what were you going to say?
I just had one of those typical moments where two people are having a conversation about something and you know nothing about it, so you just kind of smile and nod in the background. It's just like, yeah, I've never seen Rick and Morty. I don't understand. I don't know. It's just I don't know why. I think it looks like it'd be shit.
No, it's great. It's really
funny.
But
cool. I've also,
it's really funny.
I've never seen BoJack Horseman.
And it is quite
I've never
smart.
Seen. There's so many comedies that I have not seen that I really, really should. But I'm too busy watching shit like The Muppets still. Like, I still watch.
Well,
Leguizamo
did an episode of BoJack, didn't he? So
yes,
there's your excuse.
Get to that.
You excited. Should just watch all of it to watch that one app.
Naomi, John has been in everything.
I just keep getting surprised.
Yeah, so many things. I reckon that Tim Curry in Muppets Treasure Island was like a part of a big, big part of my sexual awakening.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. Tim Curry was a lot of people's sexual awakening. Yeah. But most people, it's because of the sexy movie he did. But sure.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Go with the Muppet movie.
Well, no, because in Rocky Horror Picture Show, I had a thing for meatloaf. We've discussed this.
Oh, yes.
We've discussed this many times.
Oh, I've told, I think, all my friends know. They want me to shut the fuck up. But in Muppets Treasure Island, I remember thinking like Tim Curry, and Tim Curry's fucking hot. Like he really is such a babe. He really is such a babe. I actually went on a couple of dates with a guy because he looked like Tim Curry.
That's great.
Wow.
I love that. I'm such a big fan of people going on dates. That's something that, I haven't been single for a really long time, but that's something that is my fondest memory of being single. Is going on a date with someone not because they are attractive to you, but because they look like a bit like someone that is attractive to you. It's like, wow, they look like a bit like someone who I find attractive in the movies.
They look like Emily. Let's go.
They look a bit like Emily. Oh, my goodness. Now, granted, the reason that I find Tim Curry attractive is his talent, his raw sexuality, his gender-fluid confidence. But this guy also has googly eyes. So. Oh, my goodness me. That's such a funny thing. I haven't thought of that for 10 years.
Well, now you're like, I don't know if we might need to cut this because I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but your current partner looks exactly like G Flip.
Yeah, sure.
but identical. Like if G Flip's ever sick and can't get up on stage, your partner could step
in. Can we say that? Doesn't she do a lot of drumming?
Annie doesn't drum, so Annie.
They might catch on when she doesn't sit down and drum and sing the whole time.
Annie is a great musician, and I think she plays woodwinds with aplomb. But I worry. I worry that the drumming, the fact that G-Flip is a very strong drummer. Yes, but luckily for me, there's no cause for accusation because I think G-Flip as a concept didn't exist when I started dating Addie.
True.
The person did, but she wasn't G-Flip.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Then.
when I was busy watching Sesame Street, what were you guys watching as kids? Naomi, you were probably a fetus. But,
yeah, I was a little baby.
I'm
trying to remember what I watched as a kid. I liked, if you're talking about comedy, then probably The Simpsons, but I remember watching a lot of SpongeBob SquarePants.
That is a generational thing.
100%.
Are you guys too old?
Never seen an episode.
I think we were right.
It's very funny.
There are people of our age that definitely watched it, but they were young to be watching it as adults, if that makes sense. Like our age group was kind of right in the middle, not young enough that it was our kids' show, not quite old enough that it was like, I love ripping a bong and watching SpongeBob. Like that wasn't quite our show.
Like, Noms, did you ever watch Captain Planet?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it was more like my older sisters watched Captain Planet and I was there. I was the right age bracket for it. I'm a little baby.
You are too. I am most definitely the age bracket of Captain Planet.
Yeah, Captain Planet.
That was the shit. That was the Taylor Swift of 1993.
When was the moment? At what moment did you realise that Captain Planet was a bit lame?
I reckon, there's a period, like my life is kind of set out, let's talk about my life. My life is kind of set out in little tiny little chunks, right, unlike other people's lives. I moved to Melbourne when I was just about to turn 9. Right. So I kind of separate my childhood into Tassie, which is where I lived until I was 9, and Melbourne. Mm. And when I moved to Melbourne, Captain Planet was no longer part of my life.
Yes, that makes sense.
It makes it sound like we broke up. Captain Planet and I went our separate ways.
You had a conscious uncoupling.
Yeah, we did.
But
I started a television show about my vagina and my skin.
I'm talking less about your... Oh, God, Goop, that's funny. I'm talking...
Thanks,
Zach. It was a bit of a highbrow reference, but thank you so much.
That's all right. No, I watched that clip of Gwyneth Paltrow and link to John Leguizamo here, director of Chef John Favreau. You know the one where she doesn't remember being in Spider-Man recently?
Yes.
Have you seen this clip, Mish? It's my favourite video on the internet, and I remembered it the other day. It's so special. I feel a bit silly describing it because it's like I'm talking about a meme from a year ago, but it's so special. So basically they're cooking for his TV spin-off of Chef, the Chef show, where they just film him and friends cooking and then don't really edit it and put it on Netflix and he makes another million. And it's my favourite show. But anyway, he's cooking with Gwyneth Paltrow and he says something along the lines of, she was like, oh, how did you meet this guy or when did you do this? And he's like, what's this show? And he's like, oh, I'm just filming it. You know, I actually started filming it when we were doing Spider-Man together. And she just looks him dead in the eye, completely serious. She's like, I wasn't in Spider-Man. It's like, yes, you were. And she's like, no, we were not in Spider-Man. He's like, yes, you were. She's like, no, we were in Avengers. He's like, yeah. And then we did Spider-Man last year.
She forgot.
She just didn't know she was in Spider-Man.
Oh,
and it's like
bless.
So many people, like so many nerds were so like hurt, so sad about it. But I was just like, you are my queen. She's just literally just like, She knows she does Marvel movies. It pays for Goop. Like, her agent was like, yo, you want to do another 7 Marvel movies? And she's like, I don't care, man. Like, yes, I guess. Is it going to pay for Goop? And he's like, yeah, yeah,
I have,
yeah.
Like, she'd be like, I have this really amazing 5-year plan for Goop, and it costs around about 2.5 Marvel films. So
I don't even think she's there. I think she's so on her own planet that she's just sort of like, she's just like, I want to do Goop. And then she says to her people, she's like, make Goop happen. And they're like, Goop is losing $3 million a year. And she's like, then you make it happen. And then she, like, gets on a plane. Someone says to her, Gwyneth, you're going down to do another month. She literally didn't know the movie she was in. And I'm just like, that is the best thing I've ever heard.
I have such respect.
Bless. Why the fuck would you
know? We talk about for a second that she is actually, I think people forget how good of an actor she is. Because whenever I see her in anything, she's the most down-to-earth woman ever. And she's definitely not that person in real life, but whenever I see her, I'm like, she's so breezy, calm, cool, like she doesn't give a fuck. And she's Goop in real life. She's Goop.
Have you ever seen Duets?
Oh yes.
Is that the one where she sings Cruisin'?
Yeah.
I can't remember the movie, but that is one of my favorite songs of all time. She sings Cruisin' with Huey Lewis.
She sings in that movie, she sings Betty Davis Eyes, which is excellent song.
Yes.
And it is so funny. I'm sure you can find it on the internet. Is Gwyneth Paltrow singing Betty Davis Eyes.
There is nothing
who knew that
worse.
One day she'd be the face of Goop?
There's nothing worse in cinema. I think the only thing I've decided I hate more is a poorly written confessional scene. Good confessional scene, 100%, but a poorly written confessional scene, which we've talked about at another point, earlier point. But there is nothing worse in cinema, I believe, than awkward, shy person with no context to plot. Awkward, shy person gets up and in a karaoke setting, like, ma, ma, ma. And it's always like 3 lines of like, ma, ma.
Yeah. Just, Zach, I just say be careful and watch your fucking mouth. Because if you come after High School Musical like that, I will come over to your house and drop kick you, even though it might not be in 5Ks.
No, there's too much confidence in High School Musical. Those little cunts know how to sing and they know it. There's no one in there
that's
like,
Zac Efron's not singing in the first 2, yeah?
Huh?
What?
Zac Efron was dubbed in the first 2 High School Musicals.
I think Zac Efron, he was dubbed in the first one. I'm not sure on the second one. But yeah, he didn't sing in the first one. But I think that movie, the first one is really funny. There's this ballad that Gabrielle sings. And you can tell because Vanessa Hudgens has a really beautiful voice, but it's like it sits a bit higher than the song. So they've clearly they've dubbed in someone else's voice just for the low notes. So it's like, it's funny when you find yourself looking from the outside. I highly recommend you go listen to it because you can just hear it shifting in and out.
Heard of the high notes being covered by someone else. And that makes sense because that's almost a sound removed from vowels. Low notes are too close to your own voice to do that. That's phenomenal. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
On the slight, kind of in the same ballpark, and we will talk about John Leguizamo in just a second. But
this is what they voted for. People wanted this. Let us know in the comments. Let us know in the reviews and comments, 5-star reviews only, if you like this. If you don't, please let us know that too because we don't want to go down the wrong path.
As long as you're giving us a 5-star review, just tell us if you hate this or not. Like, if just 5-star it and then criticise us. No, just very quickly, in a wonderful 80s movie called Flashdance, the actress who plays Flashdance.
What's her name?
Her name isn't Flashdance. It's
I think it's Flashdance.
Okay. So the actress who plays Flashdance, she...
her name's Alex.
Oh, thank you. Alex is a wonderful miner and dancer. Miner meaning like mines for shit, not minor as an underage.
We're not talking about John Leguizamo's 2007.
And she also likes to do stripping. So she... she's all these wonderful things. And in all her dancey scenes, when she's stripping or if she's like dancing in the mines or when she's doing her final dance, everyone's like, who is this actress? She's so amazing. And oh my God, what skills. That wasn't her. Like, that's not her dancing. They had brought in a dancer and the world were like, fuck you to that actress. Uh-huh. She got completely pushed out of Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah, and then showed up again in the L Word. like disappeared and then showed up in the L word.
Love the L word.
Anyway, we should really talk about John and Captain Vegetable.
Should we?
Yes.
I know that we should, but I'm sorry, Mish. I know that we have strayed too far from the path today and in the past, and we will get back to Captain Mr. Vegetable, but I do think we don't have to, like, I don't think people are coming to this like, man, I need at least 45 on Captain Vegetable or else I am done with this podcast.
Well, do you know what? Actually, while we're on it, I would say that I do not think the song Captain Vegetable is written in John Leguizamo's key.
No,
I'll say that much.
No.
No, so I
reckon... If it's a High School Musical, they would have dubbed those low notes.
I'll see if I can pull it up so we can have a bit of a listen. We can't play the whole thing because...
Well, do you know what?
We'll get sued by Captain Vegetable.
Mish, I'm actually happy...
He's very litigious.
I'll say this, Mish. I'm happy to kind of open with a chunk of the song. So I reckon I'm going to put that in the edit. We've heard a chunk of the song at the top of this pod.
Okay, way to make me look like a fucking idiot.
Wow.
Guys, don't fight.
No, it's all right. I'm sorry. No, it's fine.
I wouldn't have come here if you guys were going to fight with each other.
There is something about celebrities singing that can't sing, but they get cut. Like, I think Sesame Street's a bit different. They love to bring in a cameo of a celebrity, and that's really cute. Mm. But in the grander scheme of things, when movies or television shows cast actors that are famous actors and not necessarily singers to do singing bits so that they can sell their movie, like in Into the Woods, when the witch in Into the Woods, which is arguably, Stephen Sondheim, who wrote Into the Woods, is his musicals are so fucking intricate and require an amazing amount of skill. And they cast Meryl Streep as the witch. She can sing, but she can't sing like the witch. And I feel like in this with John Leguizamo, they're like, hey, John, do you want to come in and just do a very quick bit on Sesame Street? And he was probably like, yeah, fuck, that's fucking sick. You know you've made it when you've done Sesame Street. And he went in there like, oh, it's a bit of a song. He's like, yeah, all right. And so he tap danced around it a little bit and that's fine. But he can't really sing. I'm not taking away from the fact that John is an excellent actor. He's fucking hot. Love him. Like, absolutely love you, John. But I reckon he would even say, yeah, nah, I'm not a singer. Because even in his 150-plus things that he's done in his filmography, there are no musicals. Unless I haven't seen one yet. He doesn't sing in that, really. He has no solos. Yeah, he sings, but he has no solos.
Mish, I don't want to push too hard on this, but your statement was he's never done a musical except for one of the biggest films of his career.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I just mean that he's not played the witch in the Woods level.
I mean, let's do his solo in Moulin Rouge. I only speak the truth. I only speak the truth.
Oh, wait, yes, he does. And he actually opens it as well. He's like, there was a boy.
One of the biggest films of his career. He opened. Well, admittedly, he talk sings.
But let's say, like, honestly, yes, that is one of the biggest musical films in the world ever in history.
Yeah.
I would say that the song in Sesame Street for Captain Vegetable, it was a much bigger, brighter light on him and his singing.
And I don't think there was.
He had to carry a whole song.
I don't think it was as much of a talk sing song. I don't think they worked around his strengths as a performer as much. I also think that all of us are actors. All of us have done auditions for things. And I definitely have been in the situation where I've been holding an A4 printout of the lyrics to a song just going, why the fuck did I say yes to this job?
Yeah.
Like, I saw him in his, like, in his study the night before and his wife, like, knocking on the door and being like, John, come to bed, you know, you've got the Sesame Street shoot tomorrow morning. Didn't you say you had to be up at 3? And he's like, yeah, I'm coming. And then just one more, Captain Vegetable.
No, but there's also a moment in it. I might be reading into it a little bit, but there is a moment in it from right before he's about to start singing and he's talking to Elmo and he takes a big deep breath in to start singing and he has to look off stage for someone to cue him to sing.
That's
so yeah, it's great. It is great. And he also, so his costume is like this, essentially like a muscle man costume because he got these big muscles because he eats all his vegetables, kids. Mm. And if you want to have big muscles like John Leguizamo in his muscle suit, eat your vegetables. And he has like a carrot in his holster and a fucking celery stick in his holster. And he has little radishes strapped across his chest like grenades. It's really sweet, little radishes. And then they go into some woman's house who's eating candy, who's just dealing with her shit. And then they just like go
dealing with her shit.
Yeah, she's
you're a classic enabler, honestly, with you. She's doing her best. No, she needs help, okay?
She's just eating some candy, man.
She needs to know that the candy.
She needs an intervention.
Well, they staged a fucking intervention. Her Elmo, a little red monster, and John. She seemed really happy. She's like, "My name's Sandy," or whatever. And I love candy. Like, and she's just sitting there, she's like, "Oh," and she's got a big smile and she's dancing around. And they just come in, they're like, "Listen, you little fat cunt." Like she's happy. She's not sitting there going, "My name's Sandy. I want to kill myself." Like, she's not doing that.
They were Elmo and Captain Vegetable. They were concern trolling, and that's not on.
Yeah, 100%. It's not cool.
Do you reckon? Leguizamo after the shoot, just on this whole thing of our own personal experiences. Do you reckon after the shoot, he like was standing around, like, they'd rapped and they still were maybe getting a little bit of, like Sandy singing about, like, just a little bit of puppet pickups. And they were like, "That's a rap on John," and everyone clapped. And then he was, like, standing there with, like, someone just being like, was that all right? Like, he definitely had that. Yeah. And they're like, "No, it was so good." And then, like, he did the whole, it's just, you know, it's not really in my range. I'm not really, like, I know I did Moulin Rouge, but I'm more talk sing to that. Like, no, that's really what we wanted. That's, like, kind of the aesthetic we go for here. It's like, oh, great. And then, like, he didn't feel great about it, and then he didn't watch it when it screened, and someone sent him a message and was like, "Hey, you were so good on Sesame Street." And he was like, "Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, no, that was..."
Attacking me, Zach.
That's my life.
Entire short-lived acting career.
Sesame Street has I believe it's a one-hour show.
1 hour?
Yeah, because it was like, I I'm pretty sure this is correct. One of the reasons that Sesame Street started and was so successful was a lot of kids whose parents couldn't afford to send them to childcare and to kindergarten and early learning and stuff like that. They would use Sesame Street as an aid to help those kids.
Children's television show to use like syllabus and actual like educational structural tools it had a syllabus essentially. They were like, "This is our age group," and they got like teaching experts in to teach them. Like, it was the first show to do that. Yeah,
it's honestly such a fucking great show for kids, because they every day they have a word of the day, and the word of the day might be something like jealousy. And a celebrity would come on, like, I don't fucking know, who's someone who's most definitely done Sesame Street.
Winona Ryder.
Whoopi
Goldberg. Patrick Wilson.
All of them.
Patrick
Wilson.
They come
on and they will talk to, you know, Snuffleupagus about jealousy and what jealousy is. And then they also have things like, they'll like have a look into like someone's, like a kid's life who's like four. It's like, "Hi, my name's like Jonathan and this is what I'm doing with my day. I'm going around with my mum. Later this afternoon, my mum's dropping me off at my dad's house because they're divorced and they still love me." It's really great. It's so great.
They still love me.
They still love me, even though they hate each other. My parents are going through a really nasty time. Mummy has no money anymore.
Do you reckon, so is what you're saying, Mish, there's a point to every segment on the show?
Yeah.
What would you say the point, or like what would you say the message they were trying to convey was in Captain Vegetable then?
You don't think it was quite fucking clear there, Zach?
No. I saw a man, Captain of Vegetables. He sang a song about eating your vegetables.
Is that Sandy needs to stop feeling fucking sorry for herself. Get off her ass and go to the market. Stop getting Uber Eats, Sandy.
You'll get a fupa like that, Sandy.
Yeah. Exactly. If you want to avoid a fupa, you need to get the fuck up off your couch. Stop eating all
that line.
Yeah,
they cut stop that line out in the edit.
Yeah, they did.
I also really love, like, I think the other thing that's beautiful about Sesame Street is it's a reflection of the real world, but it's like an idealized version of the real world. You know what I mean? It's like when they started that show, it was set in areas that had like quite negative connotations, but it was showing, you know, a really idealized, good version of it. Like, for example, in this clip, this is a world where people see John Leguizamo and they're like, hey, what's up, John Leguizamo, rather than, oh, it's the guy from Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
This is our ideal world.
It's utopia.
And he calls Elmo player.
He does. Oh, Elmo
goes, well, hi there, Mr. John Leguizamo. Or he goes, Leguizamo. He got it wrong. Fucking.
He got it wrong. Fucking.
Yeah, what a fucking dumb cunt. Has he not seen some of the shit? Anyway. And then John goes, hey, Elmo, what up, player? And then they fist bump. And it was the fucking most adorable thing I've ever seen.
I like the running joke where John Leguizamo keeps getting Elmo's name wrong. Yeah, cool. And then Elmo's like, it's Elmo. And then he goes, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's funny. Yeah, that's
I thought
funny.
It was really charming. It was fun. I think Leguizamo and Elmo had great chemistry. I think there was a really good energy between the two of them that I was 100%. Really vibing. Sandy felt a little bit like what the fuck are you doing, Sandy? Get
I
out
think
of it.
They got Sandy.
She was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
100%. They wanted Zendaya, but they got Sandy. So, like you can tell that the original casting of Sandy was probably somebody else, and the person who played Sandy kind of was probably came in last minute.
She did a good job, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, there were fireworks between Leguizamo and So I've got a question. I know that they were both played by John Leguizamo, but do you think that in the world, John Leguizamo and Captain Vegetable are the same person?
That wasn't
a serious question. I thought you'd be like, Zach, that's a stupid question. But it's like, okay, that's
I'm
a great question.
I'm sick of making jokes. I just want to have a think.
Well, you're the one.
Different.
Sorry? What was that?
What?
I think that John got very lucky to work with Elmo, who is arguably one of the most popular people on Sesame Street. But yeah. I think it's fair to say that Elmo got fucking lucky himself.
Like, fuck yeah, man.
He got to work with John. And what a John.
Yeah, fuck you, Elmo.
John
piece
played.
Of shit.
Elmo's a little cunt. No, I don't mean that. John played.
Oh, no, Elmo's going to hear.
Elmo's going to cancel you.
Elmo's going to listen to this John Leguizamo podcast.
Elmo's
so
coming
upset.
For Mish.
No, isn't Elmo in jail anyway? Anyway, John Leguizamo played two characters in 5 minutes, and I think that's worth something. I think that's worth mentioning.
He played John Leguizamo and he played Captain Vegetable, who people say, you look a lot like John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Mm.
People do say that.
Look, I loved Captain Vegetable. I loved everything about it. I think we're going to I would say it's time for the Leguizamo score unless anyone has any final thoughts on Captain Vegetable.
None at all.
No. No.
To be honest with you, I didn't have many to begin with.
So. No, but you fought very hard for us to get back onto the Captain Vegetable topic.
Everyone, stop talking about things that are you're thinking about now and let's talk about Sesame Street more.
Guys, come on.
We got to talk about Sandy.
I had
Captain
feelings
Benjamin.
About Sandy. She fucking, like, I felt sorry for Sandy. These two fucking assholes just jump into her house and criticize her eating habits.
You identified with Sandy, huh?
So hard, man. Like, I can see in 10 years' time the fupa Sandy will be carrying around and I can relate.
I guess I see myself more as, like, the Captain Vegetable of the, you know, that's who I identify with. Like, hot and muscles.
You don't even like vegetables.
Let's get to the scoring.
So do you know how this scoring system works, Naomi? We just need to be very clear that it's not a star rating. It's a Leguizamo rating. We give it 5 Leguizamos out of 5 Leguizamos. Don't need to go too far into it. A Leguizamo means whatever the fuck you want it to mean. I don't really give a shit.
Right.
It's just not a star rating.
Okay.
Do you want to have a rating, or does someone? Do you want to jump in?
Yeah. 5 stars for me.
5 stars, great. But how many Leguizamos?
That was really cute. But yeah, 5 stars, we get it. You love
That's
Captain
fantastic.
Vegetable.
Yeah, it was a really solid.
To be honest with you, I'm surprised by a 5 star rating because your love for Captain Vegetable just didn't seem like If I was to guess it, I thought you were going to go for like a 3.5. But hey, man, if you love Captain Vegetable that hard and you want to give 5 stars, that's great. But like Zach
I love
said,
the segment. I'm not saying I'm in love with Captain Vegetable and I want to run off and have babies with him, Mish.
don't know, he's pretty buff.
Yeah, we do.
You know, it's a complicated character, and I think the point of art isn't always just whoever's on screen is perfect and that's who we want to be.
No, he's so totally complicated. People. He has radish grenades. Mm. That's a complicated man.
He does have weaponry.
Yeah. If I went on a date, if I had a Tinder date, right, and I was with Captain Vegetable and he rocked up with his radish grenades, I'd have questions. Yes. That's a red flag.
I also, if someone rocked up looking like Captain Vegetable, I would also have questions for sure.
But if someone rocked up looking like John Leguizamo at the start of the video in that lovely sweater.
Straight to second.
So how many Leguizamos? Do you also give it 5 Leguizamos?
I'll give it 4.5 Leguizamos.
Yeah, fair cop. Fair cop. What loses the half a Leguizamo for you?
I don't need to elaborate.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. That's so fair. Mish, how many Leguizamos do you give it?
So, based on the fact that Leguizamo played 2 characters, that I love Sesame Street and I love the fact that he was fucking in this, which is really cool, and that Elmo is obviously great. I didn't like how they just fucking entered Sandy and her candy's house. I thought that was rude as shit. But based on his ability and how much I love John, I'm going to give it a solid 4. Solid 4. And it loses points because they didn't consider the song before they cast John. And it was a struggle for him.
Yeah, there's not that sort of like talk-sing of Moulin Rouge, totally. It's tough. It's tough, and I'll tell you why it's tough. John's the lead. John's the lead.
He is Captain Vegetable. It's literally the segment is named after his character.
And I don't think we have seen like he's been the lead in maybe one of the movies we've talked about so far, like the lead.
The lead.
Yeah. And I think he's the lead in this. I think even Elmo is a supporting character to John here. Mm. He's in a world that respects him, that calls him by his name. He's not just, oh, that guy. I don't think that John is character actor John here. I don't think he's being relegated to the sides and asked to be. This is John Leguizamo, leading man. Mm. He's given 2 roles.
There's a respect for John.
A respect for John and all that he represents. Mm. Does he land the singing of the song? Maybe not. But is he singing it the whole time? Yes.
Yeah. So fuck you, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
So what
he's
I'm
not copping out.
What I'm saying is maybe he loses the segment loses half a star because it's out of his range. But I don't think it loses half a Leguizamo, in my opinion.
Wow.
Because really? He's singing and he's going for it. I see the truth. I see complexity. I see beauty. I see grace. And that is why I'm confident in this now that I've talked it through. I'd like to give the Captain Vegetable segment of episode 4000 and whatever the fuck it was of Sesame Street, my first ever 5 Leguizamos.
Wow.
That's massive. That is massive.
It's huge.
Zach.
It's Jesus pure Christ. Leguizamo. It's huge. I couldn't take away a Leguizamo. It lost a few stars. It lost a few points. But it didn't lose any Leguizamos for me.
Okay.
There was joy, play, fun. He looked great in that sweater up top. I 5 Leguizamos.
That's fucking beautiful, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
This is a really special moment, Naomi.
This is massive. Yeah, I don't think you understand.
Yeah, no, I kind of feel like I'm intruding, if anything, at this point.
But not like intruding and like, oh, I shouldn't be in this sacred space.
It's like you've been invited
to watch. More like a mum opening the door on their son wanking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, ugh.
We've invited you to watch.
Yeah, sorry.
You've come along, but you're not loving it.
Yeah.
So I've yet to give a 5 Leguizamo rating. and I don't know when it's going to come. I wanted it to be this. I stand by my score, but Zach, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
We'll just really quickly smash out a review as well. To all of you guys who are leaving us reviews, thank you so much.
Want to say to all of you maybe that are listening on Spotify or maybe don't have like the ability to leave reviews because you're not listening via that app or maybe that's just not your thing, you're more of a casual listener, I want to say a wholehearted fuck you.
Yeah.
You're not a real fan and I don't want you as a listener.
Yeah, you're a piece of shit.
I don't want you to listen to our podcast if you're not going to give us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Naomi is agreeing with Zach because she has no investment in this pod.
Yeah.
Zach is saying, Mish,
if you listen to my podcast, you would know that I verbally abuse our podcast fans every single week.
Yes, but I support you as a woman. You can do whatever you want.
Thank you. So I just want to say to fans who haven't reviewed Leguizamarama, fuck you. Absolutely. Also from me.
Yeah.
I say I love you all anyway because I'm still trying to launch my career.
Simp.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair.
So I respect
how important it is and how important this podcast is and the listeners are. And that's why I believe as many of them as possible need to give 5-star reviews for my best friend's podcast career. I want to support my best friend, and the only way I can think to do that is to tell every one of those motherfuckers that aren't giving reviews to fucking fuck off.
Yeah.
Stop listening. Go listen to fucking Joe Rogan for all I fucking care. You're not wanted here. That's for you, Mish.
Thank you.
And you heard it. There is Zach radicalizing people left and right.
Yeah.
Or and right, I guess.
Zach, I don't know if you heard it, but Zach basically just said that he loves Rogan.
Oh, no.
He wants more people to listen to Joe Rogan as an extension of that, you know, your Gavin McGinnis.
He might as
your frickin' Richard Spencer, you know, they're all Zach's favorite people.
Ben Shapiro loves Shapiro. Basically what Zach just said then was I hate Mish and I love Rogan.
No, I didn't say that.
Anyway, let's read a review.
This was a
5-star review.
What is this? You've besmirched my name. Anyway. I'm really tempted to just go, no, I like left-wing people too, like Bill Maher. Just those cunts on your Facebook that like...
I watch The View.
I just love it. Doesn't matter what your view is, as long as you're an entitled cunt male person, I'll hear you.
Come on the pod.
Anyway, go on. Don't. I'm not all right.
Don't
get me cancelled, Naomi.
Oh, sorry. It just happens if I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. By accident so many times.
An impulse cancellation.
I have laser focus on it, man.
All right, so this 5-star review came through from Dingleberries69 and it's called Love This Review System.
Yeah.
So it's a supporter of this review system. Such a good way to get your 5 stars up by insisting on cunts to review 5 stars with the chance you guys might read it, lol. Funny face emoji, squirty, and penis emoji.
Oh, yeah, how'd you come up with that?
Accidentally listened to the first 8 eps in 1 week and was really sad that I caught up that quick. Love you guys. We love you too, Dingleberries.
Dingleberries.
Naomi, thank you so much for coming onto this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm gonna slip in really quickly and say my new favourite hobby in our stage 4 lockdown currently in Melbourne is watching all my friends on Twitch. I mentioned once that I was a gamer that lasted for about 2 weeks. I don't do it anymore. I don't understand Twitch or how it works.
Reformed gamer.
But I am getting so much joy from watching my friends on Twitch, and yours is my favourite.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so if everyone wants to jump onto Twitch and follow you there, what's your name on it? Nomstrosity with 2 eyes?
Nomstrosity. So it's the same as my handles on Instagram and Twitter, but an extra I because someone took my name on Twitch before I got there.
Oh, rude.
You know, and that's how you know I'm a fake gamer because I wasn't on Twitch earlier than I was. But I'm having a lot of fun on it. It's really cool. It's a very interactive platform, and it's not to any hot girls listening, it's not that scary. You just go on the website, all you gotta do is it's same login everywhere, every other website. I'm trying to get more hot girls to log into Twitch. So Mish, you've done a good job. But I just think we should spread it to other hot women. You can go on Twitch. It's not they seem quite scared of it most of the time. So just relax, girls. Mm. You can go on there.
Most of our listeners are hot women too, so.
Yes.
Well, that's good, yeah. I assume. Yeah. So
you know how much hot women love listening to niche side projects of all-male sketch troupes where they talk about character actors and movies like they know what they're saying.
Probably more than you think, though.
Because on Instagram I talk often about my tits and, like, sitting, I don't know, being a woman. I get a lot more women followers now, which is really, really cool because originally.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What's your breakdown?
I think it's 59, 41.
Wow.
59% women?
Yeah. No, men.
Oh, I'm still jealous. I have 67% men.
That's because you're dating Mark and boys want
to. Oh, so I only have followers because of my boyfriend. Is that what you're saying, Mitch?
I only have followers because I'm friends with your boyfriend.
Well, I guess I'll just talk about my tits more.
Yeah, that's all you need. I reckon by saying fupa, I've upped it by a good 1%. Yeah. Like, women out there are going to be like, yes, bitch, my fat upper pussy area wants to be recognised too, yes.
It's called activism. Learn about it.
Naomi, before we sign out, we've talked a lot about your Twitch, but I really want to tell the audience the games you've been playing because I was like, if I ever do Twitch, people are like, you should do Twitch. I was like, if I ever do Twitch, I only want to do it if I can play the funniest game. And literally, when I saw the games you were playing, I decided it put me off doing Twitch at least for another few months because I was like, I can't top that. So can you just tell the listener what two games you've played so far?
Yeah, so the first one and the best game that I've ever played and into for the rest of my life is Desperate Housewives, the 2006 PC game.
Oh, my God.
Which they clearly, like, saw The Sims and were like, let's remake this but with a plot and with all the Desperate Housewives characters. And it's been amazing. I reached the end of it, but there are four alternative endings. So I am going to go back and play it and sort of 100% it because I never got Mike's chili recipe when I played it the first time. Mike Delfino, the plumber. So there's a bunch of things. Oh, I fucked him so many times. Yeah, everyone in the street.
Whenever someone would come to post a letter, you'd fuck the mailman.
I fucked the mailman so many times and then I would gaslight him afterwards every time. I would be like, fuck you, that was dog shit. And he'd be like, fuck you. And then, like, I'd see him 10 minutes later and then we'd go for it again. And then, you know, so, and then it goes on and on like that. So people really like that. And then I also played Grey's Anatomy, which was... it's barely a game to the point where I've decided I will only play it once a month because it is so painfully not a game.
Is it just what happens? You just watch Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, man, it opens and you're Meredith Grey and you're in an elevator with McDreamy. And the first thing you have to do is you have to make a choice to either play hard to get or be flirty. And the way you do that is pieces of pictures of be flirty and play hard to get are up on the screen. And you have to click on the pieces of the picture for, say, play hard to get. And then that...
Oh, amazing.
So you don't even drag the pieces to do the puzzle. You just click on them. And then the next thing was like, he was like, man, if you got to get in this relationship, you know, you can't have doubts.
This is the best.
And then the next thing you do is you have to flick away the doubts. So there's just, she's standing there and there's a bunch of doubts floating around and you just have to grab them and sort of flick them off the screen. And so I played that for like 3 hours and I didn't love it.
I love that they're shocked that the game spin-offs were quickie bad things without good programming or thought.
Desperate Housewives is actually quite good.
Amazing.
I will say.
I love
it's
that.
It's a good game. But, yeah, I'm always looking for more. I wanted to play Playboy Mansion game because it's also like a Sims ripoff, but that's banned on Twitch because of all the sex. So, you know, I'm always on the lookout. All the titties.
That's really funny. That's amazing. I love that so much. Thank you so much for joining us, Naomi.
Thank you. I've had so much fun.
Oh, bless. Make sure to eat your vegetables.
Okay, I won't be a Sandy, trust me.
Don't be that stupid fat bitch.
And on that note, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.